Welcome back to the Flagstick.com Tea Talk podcast. This is episode 4 for 2020. This is actually episode 50 overall. I'm your co-host, Scott McLeod, the associate publisher from Flagstick Golf Magazine and a PGA of Canada professional. Unfortunately, my co-host is away this week. Stefan Tiedorf is away at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Unfortunate for me, but fortunate for him. I was away as well last week. As you know, Rich McLean filled in for me. So hopefully we'll be together again next week for the next episode. And we'll get to rehash our trips, talk a little bit more in depth about what happened, not only in the PGA show, but in the Phoenix Open as well. And I look forward to that. In the meantime, we're going to keep things a little bit tighter this week. We do have a special guest, actually two special guests. I've got one that's coming in for a segment a little bit later on. And then our feature interview this week will be with Ken Thompson of True Sports, specifically the Acra Golf Department, PGMC, the company that True Sports bought earlier this year. And basically, we're going to talk about their product for 2020 and also some of the different initiatives that they're taking on as well as they look ahead to the future. All right, let's get to the week that was. I mean, we had a lot of tournament action this week. We have all the tours getting back in action. Certainly some things that were very notable. The Omega Dubai Desert Classic had an Australian win there. Lucas Herbert won on the playoff, second playoff hole. And if you watch that, really refreshing. First pro win for this gentleman. Went from hitting what he called the worst shot of his life on the first playoff hole, playing the par 5 18th finishing hole. He hit a shot that was probably 80 yards into the lake. It was kind of, it was shocking to see, actually, as a for a professional golfer to do that. But you know, being as it is, he had a great recovery shot, made par, and then won the tournament with a birdie on the second playoff hole. And that, folks, in a nutshell, is golf, and that's the way it is. And fantastic, another Australian winning. Obviously, we had Cam Davis on the show recently, you know, discussing the wildfires in Australia and how the country and the people are trying to recover from that. So any inspiration here is fantastic. And, you know, that carried over to the Farmers Insurance Open as well on the PGA Tour, where Mark Leishman went out front there and got a big win. So nice to see the Aussies doing well and certainly providing some hope and some inspiration for the people back in their home country. On the LPGA Tour, the new event, the Gainbridge LPGA, was played in Boca Raton at Boca Rio. Madeline Sagstrom got the win there, and she did it in very much impressive fashion. And our Canadian Brooke Henderson got a T15 as well. Unfortunately, Elena Sharp did miss the cut, but nice to see a new event for this tour and getting into that South Florida area. And I'm sure it was very well received and good to see. As I mentioned, the Waste Management Open is on this week. Ricky Fowler will be defending there. We have several Canadians in the field, including Adam Hadwin, Nick Taylor, Mackenzie Hughes, Corey Connors, and Roger Sloan, and that should be interesting to follow. Ricky Fowler's had a great run in this tournament the last 4 years. I think his highest finish obviously is a win, but his lowest finish has been a tie for 11th, so hopefully he does well there. He's debuting a new golf ball this week, a new product for TaylorMade, part of their Pix family, something that he was involved in, which is kind of an interesting project, and for him that was important. It was actually supposed to be debuted on Monday. They were supposed to come out with a press release and everything related to that, but with all the things happening with Kobe Bryant and his passing and the horrific helicopter crash that took the lives of 9 people, including Kobe and his daughter, they decided to delay that a bit out of respect for that, which I really I have respect for that as well. In any case, it should be an interesting week at the Waste Management Phoenix Open as always, and we'll see how the Canadians do there. On the Korn Ferry Tour, they're down in Panama this week playing Club de Golf Panama, which always plays firm and fast, very, I'll call it a challenging golf course just because it's a difficult place to make pars. I did manage to play it a couple years ago, enjoyed it immensely, and we've got 4 Canadians in the field there. Mike Weir is playing on the 49-year-old exemption as it is, and as he prepares to get himself ready for the Champions Tour. He turns 50 later on this year. Taylor Pendrith is in the field as well. Adam Svensson, and then the open qualifier, Stuart McDonald from out west, a Purdue graduate. He he's playing in that field as well. As I mentioned, I was down at the PGA show this week. Lots of chatter, lots to take from that, and I'm sure it's going to be something we'll talk about next week with Stefan. Go in depth with it more, but especially as we look at, you know, things like the top products that I saw there, and working on some editorial related to that. But really, you know, the PGA show is very interesting because although it's a lot about products, it's not really product driven anymore. It's a lot of relationship type things that happen at the show that make it sort of its success. Did spend some time with some wonderful people throughout the golf industry, met some other people as well, managed to get in some golf, which also introduced me to some new people, had some neat experiences, played Winter Park again, the joyful 2,400-yard golf course in Winter Park area of Orlando, played Matt Ginella's Skins game, and we played as a tensome in that, which was fun, got to meet a few other people that I've got to know over the years and followed on Instagram and other social media aspects, so that was nice to see, and participated in that game, and then also played a game earlier in the day where seven of us went out and played, and then we were joined by three military veterans from the U.S. that have a project called Fairways for Freedom, and their story is going to be told a lot more, and I'll talk about that more on the podcast as the year goes on, but it was wonderful to meet them, plus the service dog Grigio that came along with them, and the 11 of us had a great time on the last few holes of Winter Park together, and it was a very special experience. Again, like I said, we'll talk about that more as the year goes in. We also had the PGA of Canada had their awards night, and I want to congratulate all the professionals who were award winners. It was nice to see, nice to always take part in that. I believe there's about 600 people that met up for that Canada night, and what a room. Legends of the game, great Canadians, many people that work in the industry. It was just nice to be in that room and be inspired by those people and get to see some familiar faces. And I want to put out a congratulations to Michael Sherman on his Hall of Fame induction, a gentleman who has a long history in golf and also is a member of our Golf Journalists Association. He gave a wonderful speech, and I think it was very well received. And I think it made for an interesting and a heartwarming night, let's just say that. And also the George Cumming Distinguished Service Award went to our media friends over at Score Golf. They're celebrating 40 years this year, and it was well-deserved. Kim Locke, the publisher for Score, accepted the award, and their entire team was there and had a great time, celebrated later that evening. And they certainly have had an impact on golf media in Canada, and it was great for the PGA of Canada to recognize them. All right, that's about it for the week that was. There's certainly some more things that are going on. I should mention as well that one of our recent guests, Hannah Hellyer, who we had on in November, just had a T7 finish on the Australian Ladies PGA Tour. You can go back and listen to that show and listen to more of her story. There's four Canadians that are playing down in the Australian Ladies Professional Golf Tour this year, and two others also, Robin Doig and Megan Osland, also had top 20s in the, I think it was the Moss Vale Pro-Am, so it's nice to see them playing well. Nice to see Hannah playing well. We certainly wish her the best of luck, and we're looking forward to having her back on the show to give us a little bit of an update. Let's get into the feature interview now. As I mentioned, Ken Thompson works for True Sports. Also, you know, their big arm that he's part of, which is Acro Golf, based in Kingston, Ontario, Canada. You know, they're changing the world of golf shafts, and I don't say that lightly. Obviously, they're friends. They're people that I've got to know quite well, but they have some very interesting things that they're doing, not only in aftermarket for sales, but with products specifically, and especially as we look ahead to things like environmental friendliness and just different aspects of the industry that many, many companies are kind of delving into. Acro is definitely on the forefront of that, and they introduced a product this year at the PGA show that I think is somewhat revolutionary, and it was something I was excited to hear about. So I think you'll enjoy this conversation with Ken and hearing more about True Sports and Acro Golf. Okay, we want to welcome to the podcast good friend Kenny Thompson, who works for, well, we'll call it True Sports North, but really it's PGMC Acro, which is a division of True Sports. Is that how you term it?
That is correct. For those that don't know, True Sports in the U.S., you know, did some rebranding last summer to brand themselves as True Sports. Before it was just True Temper. Now they're True Sports. So now that's the umbrella company. And True Temper Golf, Acro, PGMC, as well as their baseball divisions and hockey divisions all fall underneath the True Sports umbrella.
All right, that's pretty complicated, but suffice to say,
if I could do a diagram for you, I would. yeah,
you might have to. We might have to link that below in the show notes. But basically, we're here at your headquarters, your office, which is in Kingston, Ontario, Canada. This is a company that started quite some time ago, and as you said, it sort of became part of True Sports just this past year. And obviously, we're just fresh now off the PGA Merchandise Show. And why don't you explain a little bit about what happens here in this Kingston office? And what you guys handle for True Sports?
Well, in this particular facility, we handle the Acra brand, which we developed over the years, and now it is owned by True Sports. But we also are a distribution facility for all of True Temper. So we handle True Temper, all of Acra, and we have a big, big warehouse here, and we are one of the sales arms for True Sports Golf Division. So we deal directly with several hundred dealers around the world, as well as tour divisions, some OEM business. We have a Europe operation as well. But basically, we handle sourcing for all True Sports golf shafts out of this facility.
Okay, so like I said, you just came back from the PGA Merchandise Show, and I attended your golf day. That was on the Monday, where you welcome a lot of dealers from around the world. Now, when we say dealers, we're talking a lot about the aftermarket business, correct?
Correct, yes.
And what's made you guys sort of stand out in that market? What's been the sort of the development of the company and the products and the things that have made you stand out in that aspect of the market versus original equipment manufacturers, which most people are known for? Here we're talking about products that are really fitted by custom fitters around the mm-hmm. world.
Yeah, so I mean, going back to the very beginning, in the early days, Gavin and Dave, who were the co-founders of PGMC, developed the Acra brand to be specifically suited towards the custom club fitting market. And they wanted to cater to that market, mainly because it was kind of I don't want to say underappreciated, but kind of a
underdeveloped
market within the golf business that really wasn't catered to very, very much, because everything was OEM driven and everything. But so it was a bit of a niche there that they thought they could develop and create products for, and they did that with the Acra brand. So since the early days, they just kept on developing the Acra brand alongside the club fitters, and they really stayed true to the roots of that. And, obviously developed the Acra brand over, 15 plus years to the point where it is today. It's still a club fitter only brand. It's going to continue to be that for club fitters. And it's a kind of a testament to our roots of it, and what kind of attracted, I guess, True Sports to the brand is that they wanted to get more of a foothold in the club fitter market like that. And, we have that, and that's what attracted them to us.
And we're not talking just about consumers here. I mean, obviously you guys have managed to delve into the tour market because you have a lot of premium products, super high quality products. And we'll talk a little bit later as far as how you guys go about, testing and things like that. But maybe if you can talk about some of the players that have played. I mean, I don't need to, we don't need to talk names, which I know obviously a lot of players are, they're under contract to other companies. A lot of them just kind of play it. They're not paid to play the product. They play it because they choose to play it. But just give us some numbers maybe of an idea as far as, wins on the tours, majors, things like that, but without saying names.
Yeah. I can't specifically name names because we don't pay players or have anybody under contract. We have the possibility of getting in trouble if we start naming names,
understood,
things like that. But I can tell you, we won the U.S. Open last year.
All right. Well, that's pretty good. I think people can figure that out.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a pretty easy lookup on that one.
Yeah.
We won that one with the Tour Z RPG 400 series shaft, which is one of our top end shafts. But, at any given time, we kind of, on the PGA Tour anyway, we have anywhere from 20 to 30 guys out there that are using the Acra product. Of course, Project X is also a very big thing for us out there now as well, since we're now part of the True Sports family. That
right.
we,
yeah.
you know, we talk about.
And then obviously, well. True Temper is endless. As
True Temper is endless. I mean, yeah. it's the you know the elephant out there. I mean, they have yeah. so much tour presence. It's you know high, very high percentage out there. But the Acura brand itself has had a lot of great success over the years on the different tours. You know, whether it be the PGA Tour, the LPGA Tour, European Tour, we have players using Acura all throughout just about every tour you can think of.
Why do you guys think that is? I mean, what is it that drives the players towards the product versus something else? What features, I guess, do you guys build into golf shafts that make the best players in the world want to play them without being paid?
I mean, apart from, I mean, we take pride in the quality of the product that we make.
Right.
We have a lot of development that happens in this facility to make Acura what it is. And, you know, with our production houses and things like that overseas, I mean, we have the ability to get prototyping done and be able to test it locally where we are right here to be able to make sure it's within the specifications that we're trying to get our design to. And then once we do that, we can then make the shafts in a higher capacity and be able to provide those. So noted that the shafts that we have here, the ones that go to the dealers are the very same ones that go to the tour players.
Right.
So there's not a tour-made shaft. They're all the same.
Right.
So when we do send shafts out for tour, you know, guys, there's no one swing. As you know, there's like everybody's different kind of thing. But we make a wide array of different profiles of shafts. And we truly believe that you can fit anybody with an Acura shaft because right. we have a vast line, you know, that is designed from anywhere from the beginner to a tour professional. So tour professionals specifically, you know, the ones that we have used and have really basically come back to us and say, yeah, I really love the way they feel. So it's one thing.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing in the past before some of the Acura shafts. I mean, some of the shafts that were made for tour level swings, for tour level tempos, a lot of them would have a tendency to be, you know, boardy, a little stiff, didn't quite have that mm-hmm. feel, right? So that's part of the advantage you guys have had?
Yeah, so I mean, Gavin over the years has worked tirelessly, really, with tour players to really develop shafts for them. You know, it helps us actually working with tour to develop lines of shafts for us as well because these guys have the best feel in the world and they can tell you, you know, what a shaft is doing kind of thing. So he's worked a lot with tour players to figure out, you know, how to make a shaft perform for a tour level player but still feel good.
Right.
Okay, and there's a lot of different materials used. There's ways in the way that shaft is produced to allow us to do that kind of thing.
Right.
So that's only a small part of it.
One thing that I've noted about you know your facility over the years is you know you guys have a machine, your S3 machine, mm-hmm. which has kind of been a little bit of a secret sauce for you guys. I know you co-developed that. And it's something that has allowed you to do some very precise testing so that you can match shafts really well. I've noted in talking to tour players, one thing they've always say is that, you know, if they get a certain profile and a certain shaft from you, if they want a replacement, they're not concerned about what happens as far as the replacement. You guys can totally replicate that shaft.
Yeah, so the S3 machine is a profiling machine, and it was originally developed with a partner of ours. You know, it was maybe 6 or 7 years ago, I guess, when it first came around. But the real purpose of it was to, one, build a machine that would be able to completely profile a shaft in a couple of minutes kind of thing.
How long would it take before previously? I mean,
probably about an hour.
And that's done. That was done manually before.
That was done manually before. Yeah. So, and that would be on one plane.
Right.
So you can imagine putting a shaft in a clamp and doing all the different things that you need to do to profile a shaft correctly. Would take you, you know, 45 minutes.
And when we say profile, let's, you know, we're talking to consumers here. What do we mean by profiling? Are we trying to determine what the stiffness is and everything in different parts of the shaft? Is that what we're talking about?
Okay. Correct. So when you talk about profiling, you're trying to create an EEI curve.
Okay.
So that requires a 3-point bend test that, you know, basically, you do it every inch of the shaft all the way down. You record measurements and
right. You know, so this machine allows you to do that robotically, correct?
Yeah. So not only does it let us do that, but normally if you're doing it manually, you'd only be able to do it unless you're going to take a lot of time, you do it on one plane of the shaft. So you stick the shaft in one way, you do all your tests on that plane. I think that would take you maybe 40 to 50 minutes, I think. So the S3 machine will do all the tests that we need to do on multiple planes in 2 minutes and 20 seconds-ish, in around there.
So suffice to say that, you know, that obviously made a big difference as far as the performance of testing the shafts and comparison, quality control, different aspects, right?
Yeah, so quality control is a big one. I mean, we test most of our shafts through the S3 machine. So the RPG that I mentioned earlier, every RPG shaft that comes in here goes through our S3 machine to make sure it's within our tolerances. Right. If it doesn't, we pull it out. Then we go back to production house and say, why is this one out?
Yeah, for sure.
So, and then there's other models where we'll do, because we do such high volumes in some of the other models, we'll pick a few samples out of a batch kind of thing to make sure that they're okay. But it's really an invaluable tool, not only for QC, but designing a shaft. Mm. So I mentioned earlier of doing prototyping. So when you have a production house do up our prototypes, we can then get them back and test them through the S3 machine and see if they fall within the parameters that we've set out for that shaft. And if they don't, that goes back and just repeat the process until it becomes what we're looking for.
All right. Now, one other thing that you guys are really well known for, and I've spotted it not only on tour, but with consumers, with your club fitters and things as well, is the customization that you guys do. Mm-hmm. And I know you're continually growing that. I know you've added some different options and some new products for this year as well. But why don't you tell us a little bit about that program and maybe what your capabilities are and what consumers could expect?
Yeah, so custom, we do a lot of custom. It is something that has really exploded over the last 5 to 6 years. So basically, it comes down to, you know, what's your favorite color kind of thing. If blue is your favorite color and you want it on your golf shaft, your Acker golf shaft, we can make that shaft blue for you.
So for the people that are obviously, you know, they're spending, you know, a decent amount of money, they're making an investment in a product they're going to have for quite some time, they are obviously probably want to make it unique and they want to make it their own. They don't want to just be the same, you know, have the same as everyone else. But, you know, so what kind of things can you do beyond color?
Well, color is a very, you know, is the biggest part of it.
Right.
Now, there's only different models within the Acker family that are available in custom. So it's our I-Series line, which includes iron shafts, wood shafts, fairway shafts, and hybrid shafts, as well as our Tour Z 5 and TZ 6 line. With that being said, we can do the color of the shaft different. We can change the logo colors. We can make certain points of the shaft be a different color, whether it be just the tip section or the butt section or something like that. We have a level of personalization with laser etching that we can put on the tip section. So if you want your name or your company name or logo or something like that, we can do that kind of thing. And then, you know, corporate as well, we can actually screen print company logos on the shafts. If there's a corporate function that a company wants done, we can do that. But more or less, it's, you know, if there's, again, college colors, you want your alma mater's colors on your shaft, we can do that. You know, so it's really somewhat endless when it comes to the color combinations that we can do. We have our stock colors that we offer, and then if somebody wants something specific, like a certain kind of red or something like that, we can do our best to accommodate them as long as we get a Pantone from them or something like that. So that has really developed a lot over the years. We do a lot for tour players.
I've seen you do some for some celebrities and stuff too. We can't really name them, but I can say if you do, you know, get to this office, you'll see some jerseys, whether it be NHL or NBA or things like that, and definitely have some different athletes that have your products, and most of them, I'm sure, probably get them customized towards their teams, correct?
Absolutely. So, I mean, again, color, you know, for those guys there, if we were doing something for the hockey team down the road here, blue and white, and we have the logo on there for them, which we've done a fair bit of that for them. You know, we've done celebrities, a lot of different ones. You know, I don't really want to name names, but You know, if you think about the Fresh Prince or...
That's a bit of a hint.
Or some notable, you know, other notable singers and,
right.
and things like that and actors and a lot.
We've Which done is kind of neat. And that's yeah. got to be interesting for you guys when you get those orders in
Absolutely.
Here. And, you get to be creative as well and obviously meet their needs. But it doesn't hurt to all of a sudden have some thank yous come back from them
either. Absolutely. It's actually very cool. And we love doing it. And then when we put the order together and we send the order back to the warehouse and we see their reaction, so, oh my God, this is going to so
for sure.
You know, it is pretty cool.
In products for this year, I mean, again, down at the your golf day this year and just coming back from the PGA show, you had a number of introductions, a number of products this year. But, you know, one of the ones that was probably most notable to me and you know, is very important these days because there's a lot of discussion about the environment. But you guys came out with a product that is very attentive to that situation. I'll let you explain it instead of me explaining it. But what's the product and what does it do different that hasn't been done before? In the industry?
Well, you are alluding to Acra steel.
Correct.
Okay. So historically, Acra has always been a graphite shaft, woods, irons. We did do an Acra steel shaft years ago through different production facility. But since we were acquired by True Sports, which is True Temper, the largest steel golf shaft manufacturer in the world, it only made sense for us to do a steel shaft with the Acra name on it. You know, for club fitters. But we just didn't want to come out with just another steel shaft.
Yeah, and obviously True Temper has, or True Sports has a lot of lines of products already. Mm-hmm. So to make something your own is, you know, pretty important.
Yeah, so it's very hard to come out with, you know, a new concept of steel shaft. So we had a design in mind for the last couple of years of, you know, a what if we did a steel shaft and we kind of want to do something. So they wanted us to come out with an Acra steel. We gave them our thoughts. We combined our minds and brainstormed with the engineers at True Temper and came up with Acra steel. So the idea being with the construction of the shaft is combining the best of both worlds with Dynamic Gold with Project X.
Which are, you know, obviously two very, very popular shafts.
Dynamic Gold is a basically an icon of steel golf shafts forever.
Yeah.
You know, notably because of its great feel and, you know, the performance characteristics that it does have. So we maintain that Dynamic Gold feel and everything in the butt section of the shaft, but add the stability of Project X in the tip section. Okay, so we have it in multiple weights as well. We start at 105, there's a 105, a 115, and a 125 weight. And it starts at, I think, 40.5-inch 2-iron all the way to 36-inch sand wedge. So it gives our club fitters a multitude of different options to be able to fit people properly with, so they can soft step, hard step, you know, use different weights in combination to make a set for them. So we did that. The other thing we wanted to do, and this comes down from True Temper, is they wanted to do something. They've been toying with this idea of a different finish that would be use less water but still provide a coating that would be durable.
Okay.
So this Acra steel shaft will actually use like a normal steel shaft. If you're doing the chroming process, would take about 10 gallons of water per shaft.
Now, when you say the chroming process, that's the finish that's on the outside finish. Of the shaft.
Yeah.
Right?
So there's a finish of chrome with nickel.
Right.
Okay. And when you apply that, it uses about 10 gallons of water per shaft to be able to do that. So they're looking at that to try and, one, not use so much, you know, like resource to be able to produce that shaft. Okay, so there's no chrome or nickel. They're not using all this water to, you know, put the finish on the shaft. So that's saving a lot. And also nickel and chrome, there's a weight to that. And it's a finish weight. It doesn't really do anything for the performance of the shaft. So when we take that away, all of a sudden we can use the weight of the, you know, everything about the weight of the shaft goes towards the performance of the shaft.
Right. So you can displace that weight and then use it for the performance characteristics.
Exactly.
Which
so
is kind of interesting, really.
Yeah. So it, you know, the Eco Satin.
And that's the name of the finish?
That's the name of the finish that they've used. There's something called an Eco Shield.
Okay.
Okay, which is the top layer that protects the shaft, and okay. is the
so that
the,
keeps it from rusting or anything.
Yeah,
like that
kind of thing. Yeah. Exactly. And then the EcoSatin is the look,
right?
The way it looks. So there will probably be additions at some point down the road for different types of finishes, which will be eco, whatever
trend, kind
of,
sure. You know, yeah, and whatever variation. Kind
of that. So that was the idea. Come out with a great new steel shaft with the Acker brand. And have something that nobody's done that I know of.
Yeah.
I certainly
haven't seen it in my years in the industry, and I thought it was pretty significant. So that's part of the reason why we wanted to have you on here. All right, one last question, and we'll let you go. We really appreciate your time here. Mm-hmm. But for most people that are looking for golf shafts, what would you say the biggest mistake would be for most people when it comes to choosing a shaft?
Not getting fitted.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, that's pretty general.
The biggest mistake, in my opinion, you know, you need to be fitted for your golf equipment. There's so many different variables and options.
I should say here, Ken was a collegiate golfer, so he knows what he's talking about from the golf side of things too, and was formerly in golf retail as well. So if you're listening, his advice doesn't come just from being somebody that works for a golf shaft manufacturer, but from years of experience in the industry.
Yeah, so it's really, you know, it's like a tailored suit kind of. You're not gonna, you know, if you want the best fit, you need a tailor to help you with that. So with golf shafts and golf equipment in general, club fitting is a huge part of trying to optimize what you're doing on the golf course. So if you're not doing your best to be fitted properly, you really are missing out.
And I guess that's a lesson for everyone. Not only can you get fitted, but you know, you can get into product that you can have custom made. And as you mentioned as well, there's a myriad of models and materials, obviously for you guys, brands within that they can choose from. And the best bet is just to go see their fitter for that. All right, quickly then, where can people find more about Acker Golf website, social media, etc.?
Yeah, so I mean, our main website is acrogolf.com. You can go there and view all our different products, as well as there's a link there to get to our custom side where you can actually build your own custom shaft. Yeah. And
do you pick colors?
Pick colors and all that kind of thing. You can submit an order and we'll get you in touch with a club fitter that's closest to you to be able to complete that order.
And do you have like a dealer locator, that kind of thing in there? Okay.
Yeah, there's a dealer locator to find everybody and that way. Of course, there's TrueTemper.com, which you know, we'll have all the other brands with TrueTemper, Project X, and everything else. It's
okay. And social media, they can follow you, Instagram, Twitter, that sort of thing?
Social media, we have Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. It's just at Acker Golf Shafts all three of those.
Perfect. Well, thanks very much, Kenny. Appreciate you spending the time with us. We always enjoy hearing about some of your products and look forward to some of the new ones that you're going to have in the future.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right, we got a special segment this week. Instead of doing our birdie or bogey, I've got a little extra section this week. We're going to actually do Would You Rather, and I've got a special guest. It's actually my daughter, and this is on the girl dad sort of theme. It's Ailsa McLeod. Ailsa is just about 14, a little bit of a golfer. Ailsa, you want to say hello?
Hi.
All right, so what we've got today, a would you rather, and I've got some golf related questions for you and I want your answers. Now, you've been lucky, you've been around golf a lot in your life, you've seen a lot of things, right?
Yep.
When did you first start playing golf?
When I was little.
How little were you? Do you remember?
No.
Like 4, 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So here's the thing. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 questions for you. You've got to decide one or the other. You've got to make a choice between one thing or the other thing. And then tell me a little bit maybe why you'd make that choice.
Okay.
That sounds all right?
Yeah.
Okay. What we're going to do first is St. Andrews or Pinehurst. You've been to both. You've got to make a choice and tell us why.
That's a tough decision.
Why?
Because they're both, like, awesome.
Okay. Hmm. There's no just staying on the fence here. You got to make a choice.
I think I'm going to have to go with Pinehurst.
Really?
Because...
And why?
Because it's, like, when we had lunch there and stuff, it was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And St. Andrews is also cool. Because of, like, the history and stuff.
Okay.
But
Are you changing your mind now?
No, I like both of them.
Okay.
Can I do both?
No, you can't do both. You got to one or the other. I know, it's a hard one. I didn't say it was going to be easy. I mean,
yes,
just think.
You did.
Okay, maybe I did. Make it. Make your choice.
I changed my mind to Andrews.
St. Andrews. All right, St. Andrews it is. Okay, one more travel question we'll have for you. Prince Edward Island or Myrtle Beach? Ooh, again, you've been to both. Make your call.
PEI.
PEI. Why would you want to go to PEI more?
Because it's smaller, so okay. You have the beach to yourself.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough. What about the golf?
The golf?
What do you think?
I don't know. We didn't do very much golfing in Myrtle Beach.
But PEI, of course, you've played some golf there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So PEI it is.
Yeah.
All right. Club preference. If you had a choice to use one or the other, driver or putter, what's your preference?
Putter.
Why?
Because I'm really good at putting.
And you're modest, too. Is that what it is? Okay. Fair enough. Colored golf ball or white golf ball?
Colored golf ball.
Why?
It's easy to find.
Do you have trouble sometimes finding your golf ball?
Yes.
Okay. I guess you got to talk to your teacher, eh? All right. If you had to spend the rest of your life on one part of the golf course, but you had to choose between the driving range or the putting green, which would it be? And I guess that might lend itself to the previous question that you had. But what do you say? Driving range or putting green?
Putting green.
All right. Let's go with a golf game. If you're going to play with one player and you had a choice between playing a game with Tiger Woods or Brooke Henderson, who would it be?
Brooke Henderson.
And why do you say that?
Because she's really cool.
Why is she cool?
She's a girl. Okay. And I can look up to her as a golfer.
And what do you think? Have you seen her play live?
Yep.
Yeah. What do you think?
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, two more for you. And this is something we talk about in our house all the time because we talk about some different things related to golf. But would you prefer new golf shoes or a new outfit?
Shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Particular reason why? You just like shoes?
No, I just like shoes a lot.
All right. Something flashy or something just functional?
Flashy.
You're all about the flash, huh?
Yeah.
All right. One last thing. Pertaining to golf, would you prefer to carry or use a push cart?
Push cart.
Push cart? Why?
Because you can use all your energy for the golfing, not the walking.
Wow. What a player. All right. Thanks, Ailsa McLeod. Thanks for subbing in for Stefan, because obviously he's not here this week. And thanks for that Would You Rather section.
No problem.
All right, it's one of our favorite sections of the show, Mailbag, where we take your questions, whether they come in by Twitter at Flagstick or Instagram at Flagstick Golf. I occasionally get some emailed ones as well, but keep them coming. If we don't get to them each week, we can also, we'll archive some of them too and then answer them in the following weeks if we run short on time. But we'd love to have your questions in here. Obviously, Stefan is away in Arizona this week, so I'm going to handle them by myself. Hopefully I can do that. Certainly expecting a lot of golf equipment questions this time of year. We get a lot of those. People are getting ready for the season, and let's get to it. So first off, am I okay to start playing golf with a set that is not fitted for me? Well, I'll tell you what. Just get started. That's the most important thing. And whatever clubs that you're using. I will say that as you're beginning to play, you're certainly going to want to get fitted, especially some basic things for the weight of the clubs, the length of the clubs, lie angle, so forth. The more that you play, the more that's going to be very necessary. And from a performance standpoint, once you start to be more consistent, you'll see the inconsistencies in your clubs as well. And one concern here for a lot of people is, I'm not sure the age of this person, but especially if they're a junior, try to get golf clubs that are light enough that they can handle, they can swing properly. If you do end up with some clubs that are maybe too heavy or too stiff for you, you can certainly get into some tendencies that will cause some issues. Later on, when you start to play more, you'll start to see things that lie angle that will start to affect your shot shapes, where the golf ball is starting, and that's really important that way. But anyways, in starting to play golf, starting with a set that's not fit for you, it's fine. Just get going, just get out there and get playing, and that's the most important thing.
Question two, my wife likes to play with really soft golf balls. What do you recommend? Well, you're definitely in luck here. There definitely is a lot on the market. Certainly just coming back from the PGA show in Orlando, there was a lot on display there. A couple of the most popular ones, I would say, Callaway Super Soft continues to be a very popular one. But I would say one of the ones that is probably the softest that, you know, I like as far as a value and performs really well. And I think the compression, if you really think about compression, is just, you know, how soft a golf ball is. It's just a rating scale. It's not really as relevant these days because materials are more important. But I will tell you that the Wilson Duo Soft is a super soft golf ball. I've made use of it, even hitting it with hickory clubs before, hickory shafted clubs. So that's a recommendation as well. The Wilson Duo Soft and various, almost every manufacturer now has one, whether it's Rixon, Titleist, Bridgestone, you name it. Almost everybody has got a soft golf ball that you can make use of if they like the feel of that. So certainly no shortage of choices there. Next question. The new iron loft seems really strong. Why is this being done? I see pitching wedges with a loft of what used to be an 8-iron. Again, just coming back from the PGA show, certainly saw a lot of strong lofted irons coming out. A lot of people really get on manufacturers over this because they think it's just a distance play. Well, distance is part of it, and I don't know many golfers who don't want just straight distance or don't want extra distance. But in many cases now, the center of gravity of these golf clubs is getting lower and lower, especially in the iron designs where they're putting a lot of mass low in the heads, which actually then creates a really high launch for some of these clubs. So what'll happen though with that is, although we're trying to get the launch rate up there, if the launch begins to be too high, what we've got is these clubs peaking out a little bit too soon, and they're not going to get the distance that they need. So you need some stronger lofts to be able to get optimal distance out of them. The other factor that comes in here is that, you know, it's very much different as far as the club delivery of a good player and a weaker player. A lot of people look at the static loft of a club, say for an example, a pitching wedge being, you know, let's say 46 degrees. Some of these stronger ones now I've seen, you know, 40 degrees, 41, 42, 43 degrees with a pitching wedge. But you've got to remember that is a static measurement, and how the golfer delivers the club is going to be much different. A good player is actually going to reduce that loft by a lot. They're going to have a little bit of a shaft lean swinging forward. They're not going to have as much loft on it. The difficulty is that for high handicap golfers, they tend to deliver more loft. So they tend to have some issues as far as delivering consistent loft, as far as reducing it down in impact to get the most out of their shots. So in doing that, they need some help from the golf club. So the needs of each golfer is slightly different. So if you're a really good player and you're looking at the lofts of some of these clubs that are super game improvement or just game improvement clubs, and you're seeing the lofts go stronger and stronger, there's a reason for it, and it's not just straight distance. Obviously the main thing to come out of it will be distance, but it's basically to help those golfers that tend to add a loft or don't take off much loft at impact, and they need a little bit of help that way. So don't be too concerned. Just make sure you work with your fitter, get something that's perfect for you, something that has nice clean gaps in between, and whatever is on the bottom of the club, just get used to whatever the distances are and you'll be perfectly fine. All right, we've got two more to go here. Our golf club wants to start a golf program for juniors, but we don't have a pro or one nearby. Is there anything we can do to learn the basics to help a few kids out? Well, thankfully there is. Now, obviously, it would be great if you had somebody that was a fully trained PGA professional, somebody to come out and do your programs, but obviously that is not the case. We're a big country here in Canada, and I'm just going to use Canada as an example. We've got about 2,400 golf courses, and not everybody has a PGA professional. I know myself, growing up, I was at a number of golf courses that didn't have a PGA pro, usually had some volunteers maybe helping out with some clinics, and I'm sure they would have liked some help too in learning how to help the kids out more. My suggestion is that the National Coaching Certification Program, they do have a pathway for non-PGA members, and really they're designed for introductory type activities. They have a community sport program. They have something else, a little bit more of a competition stream. They also have a Special Olympics program as well, so that people that are
want to be a Special Olympics volunteer, they're interested in gaining some skills and confidence, they can do some training as well. So I would recommend that you go to either the PGA of Canada website, which has a link to that, or the NCCP coach program. They'll definitely be able to help you out that way. And the community sport program is perfect for that. I believe it's just a two-day program, and it'll really help you out just with the basics. And I know even as a PGA professional, if I had a large number of kids around, it would be nice to have somebody with a little bit of training just to help them out. But for you, that's probably ideal for your facility if you don't have a pro. All right, our final question here. We're heading to Cabot Links this summer from Ontario and looking to play some golf on the way in Nova Scotia. Any suggestions? Well, I've got a couple. I mean, the path that you're going to take there is going to take you all along the beautiful Northumberland Strait. You're going to see some golf courses along there. So I would suggest probably in the Pugwash area, Northumberland Links, which I played many years ago now, but very much enjoyed. It's got some great views of the water, has some fabulous green conditions. They were very welcoming when we were there doing a travel piece some years ago. Actually stayed at the Scottish Pines Cottages just in between, which I believe is relations to Anne Murray, some of her family, the Murray family. They run that, and that was a nice place to stay. And just on the other side of it was the Fox Harbour Resort in Tatamagoosh, which obviously a lot of people know as being the place started by Ron Joyce, one of the partners in Tim Hortons early on. And that is a great facility. Not only do they have condos there, they have a marina, but they have a fun golf course as well. I prefer the back nine there versus the front nine, but still a nice spot to play. Great experience. And looking forward to the new golf course that they're going to be working on there soon, which is going to be a collaboration between Tom McBroom and Doug Carrick. Don't have a timeline on that yet, but in any case, those are two good suggestions along the way. There's many others. I know Abercrombie is on the way there as well. There's several other golf courses, but certainly I can endorse Northumberland Links and the Fox Harbour Resort. All right, that's our mailbag for this week. Please keep bringing your questions to us. We love to answer them when we can. Pass them along on Twitter at @flagstick and Instagram at @flagstickgolf. And, you know, make them as complicated as you want. If we have to do some research, that's what we got to do. But certainly we love the listener interaction. We appreciate you sending them in. On to the last segment of the week. This is your tip of the week. All right, today I want to talk to you about wedges. Now, wedges are pretty important as far as our game is concerned, especially when it comes to scoring. I think we all know that. One thing that's happened, though, is that the modern golfer has gotten used to having a lot of wedges in their bag, which is a lot different than what would happen in the old days when players might have one sand wedge in their bag, might have a pitching wedge, whereas today it's common that we see three wedges, four wedges, sometimes even more. So what's happened as a result, though, is there's a lot of people that take on those wedges and they have a single shot to use when they use those wedges, be it for a chip or a pitch, but they just kind of have a standard technique. And unfortunately, that doesn't really optimize them for scoring. What we used to have to do back in the day is you used to have to manufacture a lot of shots. We used to have to vary the loft, the angle that we're holding up the shaft, how much bounce we were using, and you'd play around and you'd experiment. So this is sort of what I want to get people back to a little bit and really to think about what they're doing with their wedges. We want to have fun with them. We want to be more game-like with them and get creative with them. So what you really need first off is you need the tool, and you can work with a fitter to get sort of the best tools to make use of, whatever wedges those are to go in your bag. You need a little bit of technique, but more importantly, you need the time to work on a skill to get the most from these wedges. So instead of just a single shot, you want to expand yourself. If you want to score, you're going to need a wider arsenal of shots to work with. And that may be just, you know, different length swings, having the shaft more vertical or less, more loft, less loft. You want to play around with that and see how the golf ball responds, be it with spin, how far the golf ball flies. This is the type of experimentation that some of the best players in the world did, especially as kids. And we really want to play around with wedges like kids, and this is going to give you a lot of confidence in your game. It's going to give you a lot of options when you get into situations when you're out trying to score, whether that's in your normal weekend game or in a tournament as well. You've got to get comfortable with different situations because you're going to face a lot of situations out there and you're going to have lots of solutions to get out of those situations. So you want to have as many options as possible. If you only have one stock shot, probably not going to help you as much. So be creative. Now, I just came back from Florida. Florida is really tough because you have the Bermuda rough that's really difficult to work with. A lot of people are not used to it from a chipping standpoint. I use the technique down there for chipping and pitching sometimes that I've found to work a little bit better. And it's maybe something that you want to try, especially when you get in the thicker rough or you just need a golf ball to fly just a short distance and then spin a lot and then, you know, just trickle up to the hole. This wouldn't be for like a long pitch or anything. Although, as I said, go ahead and experiment. There's kind of no wrongs here. You just got to find out what works for you and what you're comfortable with. So this favorite shot for me is I basically hold the shaft very upright on this chip, which adds a little bit of loft, engages the bounce differently, especially sort of on the trailing edge a little bit differently. And then what it does is it results in shots. And it's kind of like a little pitch shot where I just go back and forth a little bit. It's not a big long stroke that I'm making for it. It might be for shots that are need to go, you know, maybe fly a couple yards and then roll out a little bit past that. So basically, like I said, I hold the shaft up fairly high. I get the ball really close to me. And basically it adds a little bit of loft and it basically I lift the heel up of the shaft a little bit, and I basically am striking it in the center of the club face, but I'm using the bounce slightly differently. The club tends to cut through the rough pretty well, keeps a lot of loft on it. I get a lot of spin, so it results in these shots that, you know, are really good for touch shots. So like that, just play around, find a fun shot for you that you can depend on, get creative, practice a lot. If you've got some time, head to the pitching green, the putting green this year, and really practice those shots. You'd be surprised how much they can save you. At the other side of it as well, if you're really confident with your short game, it's going to free you up, especially with your irons. You can just make swings and feel that you can get up and down much more easily. So that's your tip of the week. Play around with those wedges, get comfortable, have fun. All right, that wraps us up for this week. Episode 50, episode 4 of season 2 of the Flagstick.com Tee Talk podcast. I want to thank our guest this week. Hopefully, Stefan will be back next week and have some stories from the Waste Management Phoenix Open. I'm sure he will. But thanks to Kenny Thompson of True Sports for coming on and talking to us about golf shafts and what their company is doing in that realm, as well to my own daughter, Ailsa McLeod, for jumping on for a segment there. Had a little fun with that. And we look forward to talking to you again next week. Please follow us on all our different social media, whether it be Twitter at Flagstick or Instagram at Flagstick Golf. Pass along your questions for our mailbag. And please give us a rating if you can on iTunes. Five stars only, please. We love your feedback. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.